So welcome back to Ewan Spencer Insight 65 at allaboutsymbian.com. Are you there, Ewan?
Hi, y'all. Yeah, I'm back. I've only had 3 weeks away, and thank God I'm back in a land that makes a decent cup of tea.
Did it go well?
Apart from the tea issues, yes, it went incredibly well. Obviously, content came back to this site. So there seems to be lots of people who enjoy watching my ugly mug play around with a new phone. And it seems to be that if we ever have to do podcast with an alternative crew, we might have some options.
What were your impressions of the Ewan podcast, Rafe?
Well, they were certainly a unique flavour. I always enjoy listening to something a bit different. I think they were perhaps maybe a little more informal than the usual All About Symbian style. I do like my Radio 4 and I do listen to the Archers. Yes, I'm sorry.
And I have to say here two things. One, I like Radio 4 as well, and the great thing is the Today Show has a podcast, so I can still download all the interviews of Boris Johnson and Sir Cecil B. Whatchamacallit from the Tory party talking about stuff. But one of the differences in a podcast is that at South By, we were all round a single table. We could all look at each other, we could do a lot of communication, make it much faster. When Steve, Rafe and I are recording these podcasts, we are doing it from opposite ends of the country. And that means that there has to be, by its very nature, a slower, more measured tone. And to be honest, that's probably more informative, if maybe slightly less entertaining. So there is a trade-off in anything that's done, be it podcast recording, video, or even when we're writing articles. I do know that some people said, I really like that one. And I think that was more people going, well, it's different. You know, if we'd done a year of them and done one of these in depth, I think people would have enjoyed this one even more. So it is swings and roundabouts.
But I think we should try and do more live podcasts in the future. So we'll certainly look into that, I think.
Does that mean you're going to send me to somewhere else next year?
I think it means we all need to meet somewhere in the middle of the country, or maybe have you come down to London, Ewan?
That sounds a smashing idea. I understand there's a conference at Monaco coming up.
Rafe's expense budget doesn't stretch very far. About as far as Milton Keynes.
Oh, no. A roundabout. Another roundabout. A car park.
A concrete cow.
Thanks to Mary Whitehouse Experience for that. Right, what have I missed while I was away then, guys?
Well, you missed quite a bit of small news and tidbits of software, tidbits of hardware. We're still waiting for some of the really big items of hardware, such as the Nokia N86. You missed our trip to Samsung UK to spend a day with the Omnia HD, but you, like all the rest of the readers, will be enjoying Rafe's excellent detail coverage on the site. And there's part three of that preview coming out more or less around the same time as you hear this podcast. And of course, in the next month or so, there's Samsung's Omnia HD Ambassador Program. I suspect all three of us have applied for that, along with After S60 World. So hopefully we'll get a couple of pre-production units out of that as well to get even more detailed coverage. What else did you miss, Rafe?
Well, you missed the fact that using Google Maps from your phone, you can now look in strangers' front windows and see what you're doing as you're going down the street. And that's yes, causing the usual privacy issues here in the UK. You could have been able to do it in the US for a long time, but we're British and we like our privacy, thank you very much.
This is why I live on a third floor.
And this is an advantage for some, I guess. And of course, the E75 is starting to make its way into other people's hands, and I've now got mine, and I've been playing around with it for about a week. But Ewan, I know
have
you've
one here
also,
as well.
Also got
I
one. Yeah, that's right. So what's been your first impressions?
I like the red colour. I have the one emblazoned ruby, and it's just nice to see phones that aren't just black, silver, and white. Admittedly, I then immediately went and put the Steve's Pi Zero Sunrise theme on a thing. And I got to say, I really like the E75. It's the profile on it, and in terms of the thinness, it's a good size of phone. It feels like an old-fashioned basic phone, but of course it has the slider, it has all the functionality, and I have to say that I'm pretty impressed with it. It's a nice bright screen. Admittedly, it doesn't have touch on it, and put next to the 5800, it's an interesting compromise, because those devices really are now the two main mid-range devices, I would have to say, and they give vastly differing experiences, even though we're running the same underlying software.
Yeah, no, I think that's right. And the thing actually that struck me most about the E75 is how much I've missed having physical buttons. I've been using the 5800 for quite a while and the E71, but switching back to the E75 rather than the 5800, which had a slight accident when I put it in the washing machine and is now as dead as the dodo. So I've actually switched to using the E75. I've switched to using the E75. Exclusively, we'll be, you know, working on a review of that shortly. And I do really like having the physical buttons for the keyboard because it does make text entry so much easier. So,
do you know one of the things I really like? It's the fact that the back metal plate has a very slight ridging effect to it. So the sort of texture when you're holding it means that you always know you've got a good grip on the device and it feels solid. On the 5800, to some extent, does show its €200-250 price point. The E75... feels like you could knock in nails with this.
Yeah, I know, I agree. That's always been a great thing about the E-series, and there's that same textured backing on the E71 and the E51, of course, and it's also on the upcoming E55. So I guess we'll talk about the E75 more next week when we've both had a chance to play with it. The other bit of news I guess we should mention on the site for your benefit, Ewan, is that we've got two new writers. We've got Richard Blore, who's, I'm sure, a lot of people in the developer world and the Symbian ecosystem will already know, and he's joined All About Symbian, contributing to our developer section and the enterprise stories, and we'll be seeing a lot more of that in the future. And he's already put up his first article, and by the time you see this, there'll be the second one up on the Obvious Store. So I'm very much looking forward to having a lot more developer related content on the site.
If there's any... he was the guy that was in Escape from New York, yes?
Well, yes, I know you seem to think he looks a bit like Kurt Russell, but I'm not sure he'll thank you very much for that. But yes, that's a passing resemblance, maybe. And of course, if you've got any particular items you'd like to see us addressing on the developer side of things, please get in touch and I'll pass them on to Richard. The other new person we've had in recently is James Watley. Many of you will already know him from the social media world and from his stint on Mobile Industry Review. He's going to be contributing the occasional guest piece. We'll have to see how frequent that'll be, maybe once a month, mainly around editorial topics of interest to him. And the first one certainly kicked up a lot of discussion, and there'll be more of that to come. So that probably summarises pretty much all of you missed while you've been away, Ewan.
So I leave, and then you get two more writers in play. Are you trying to tell me something?
No, we're just looking to expand the All About Symbian content. And, of course, as I always say, we'd love to hear from people, hearing more about what they think and what we should be looking at. So feedback, please, everybody.
I've been listening to so much American talk radio now. I'm just expecting we'll be back after these short messages. But we don't have that. But, of course, I'm pretty sure that if somebody wanted to put a short message in here, we'd be quite happy to accommodate them as well.
Now, don't talk to me about sponsors. I'm trying to find a new sponsor for my phone show. As regular listeners and watchers will know, I've been sponsored by S60.com. But, of course, with the Symbian Foundation coming up, well, in fact, it started, I think, officially yesterday as we record this podcast. Of course, S60 itself is being phased out in terms of it being merged back into Nokia and merged back into the Symbian Foundation. So I've got to rejig all my sponsorship agreement, which is a bit of a pain. But yes, all the more sponsors, the welcome for both a show and All About Symbian.
Yes,
and
please.
More advertisers, the better.
Because after all, we need to meet up in Milton Keynes to do a joint podcast.
If we had more money, we could actually go somewhere like the Seaside.
Yeah, and you got to know that sort of McDonald Big Macs don't come cheap, especially when Ewan's eating three of them.
Yeah, especially. And, you know, Mobile Information Review, they got to Prague, they got to Rome, well, you know, Milton Keynes. I mean, you know, once we're finished there, we'll go to Durham.
Well, I'm thinking more Bognor Regis, actually.
Oh, bugger Bognor.
You can see why James Watley came on board, can't you? He thinks, oh, Milton Keynes, yeah, that's that beats the other places I've been recently.
Speaking of things that beat other things, the N-Gage at DDC surprised me in being very, very discreet. It was nice to see Nokia actually on the showroom floor, but they seem to be getting the most attention for hiring 6-foot-high models and putting them in 9-inch platform heels, as opposed to any of the code or anything that was coming out. But the GDC reaction, and certainly on the floor, it's amazing how much focus there is on the iPhone and how little there is on the N-Gage and basic Java devices. It seems to me that a lot of development, especially in the gaming world, has switched to this high-end, relatively low penetration percentage-wise of devices, and everything seems to be left behind in terms of going for the volume of sales. And I know this ties in with what James wrote about Gravity, but the fact that even though you have a smaller market in terms of iPhone devices and the applications are cheaper, more people are buying, and more people are buying easily. And I'm going to be very interested to see what the impact the Ovi store has when it launches in May and over the next 2 or 3 months to see what this actually does to the application ecosystem. We could be at the edge of a precipice here from what I can see from the Apple ecosystem and what it could do to the Nokia system. And I wonder if that sort of feeling of pausing, you know, that sort of, you know, wait for it, green light, is something that you guys have been picking up as well in the last month.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. I mean, I think the obvious, or there's still questions around it, and one can never be completely accurate when predicting these things. But I do think it has the potential to have a very big impact. If it does get pushed out to, you know, tens of millions of devices, yeah, I mean, Nokia talked about 50 million. That's sort of dependent on people going into download and getting pushed the new update and then using it. And I don't think it will have the same usage rates as the iPhone App Store, simply because it's a different type of consumer. You know, the iPhone is a high-end device, and those people will typically be looking to do more with their device. And so I think, you know, for N95 owners, you know, at the top end, yes, they're going to be very interested in this kind of thing, and N97 in particular, which is why it makes sense to launch Ovi Store on the N97, at least the first embedded device to get it. So my message at this point to developers would be, if you haven't already, go to publish.ovi.com right now and get your content uploaded. If you don't want to put everything up there, that's fine, but you need to be experimenting with it right now, because it has the potential to become the single most important distribution channel for mobile applications in the Symbian ecosystem.
I'm wondering if the ramp-up is going to be too slow, though, because the N97 is going to be a very expensive device, relatively, and it's only going to be taken by early high-end adopters, sort of people that have been continuing to use Symbian devices for a long time. I don't think that people will see the sort of sales and returns, and I know that Apple have the advantage here because the iPhone is one model for everybody, but I think that this slow ramp-up on using the N97... it's going to make you feel like one of those extended beta tests that kept Engage as the next best thing for, you know, 2 years or so. And by the time that it did go volume, it's become so passe now, Nokia finding it hard to push. Rafe?
I think it's maybe being a little sceptical on the Ovi store there. I mean, yes, the N97 is the first launch device, but that won't really be coming out till sort of, I'd say, end of June. I mean, big shipments in July, August, and the store is actually going to launch in May with existing devices. And the interesting thing about it is it will actually be pushed. If you open download on any of the existing devices, it will offer you a download update, and you'll get the Ovi store instead of download. So that's how they're going to push it out to existing devices. Now, I'd always be the first to say that you're never going to reach all the existing devices in the market, but I do think in that sense, that way, you'll be able to reach a very significant number of them. And yes, you know, it's true, at launch there may be an issue, and Microsoft, I think, are facing the same thing. You know, they've made their decision with their Sky Market to launch on 6.5 and not worry about 6.0 and 6.1. That's on Windows Mobile, obviously. Nokia are taking a different route, and they're trying to support the older devices. And with, you know, a potential of something like 50 million plus devices out there that can be updated over the air via download, I think there's a good chance that a significant percentage of those, maybe 10, 20 or even more percent, could get in. And that results in, you know, getting on towards 10 million devices. And it could well be more than that. You know, it's difficult to predict that kind of thing. So I do think it could be quite significant quite quickly. And more to the point, you know, once it does start shipping in the devices itself, which is going to happen in the first 6 months, that's going to ramp up numbers very quickly, 10, 20 million. You know, when you're shipping 15 million to 20 million S60 devices a quarter, probably be nearer 50 million, I guess, this year with the economic climate, that's still going to be potentially, you know, by this time next year, you know, 30, 40 million devices shipping with the Ovi store embedded. And yes, you're right about the Engage, but I think there's more of a mechanism to push it to existing devices, which is why I'm sort of so keen for developers to sign up and look at it now, because there will be, to a certain extent, a first mover advantage.
Yeah, I have to say that the transition from download to Ovi can't really come soon enough for me. And I don't know whether readers to the site have spotted it, but the download section on most of the devices I own has been taken over by, is it Jamster, Rafe? Is that the right company?
Yes, that's right. It's Jamber or Jamster, depending on which country you're in. I think Jamber is the German parent company. And yes, you're right, it's their ringtones and some of their Jabra applications. Obviously, they're going to be a content partner in the Ovi store, but, you know, there'll also be a lot of others as well. And I suspect sort of download Nokia have done some kind of legacy deal to for all those devices that don't upgrade or whatever or can't be upgraded. And yes, at the moment, it's a bit irritating because it's no better, arguably worse than most operator portals. And that was never really the point of download. You know, the point of Ovi Store is to be universal and have as much variety from as many different content partners as possible. So yeah, absolutely, I agree. Not quite apart from the ease of use, if nothing else, you know, being able to have an icon on your phone with easy access to use the social location recommendation engine, it's going to be a complete sea change in how people get applications onto their device.
Yeah, talking of social functions, the social pulse is something that's just been added to Yahoo's brand new next generation mobile homepage. So I'll just move on to that item quickly, see if either of you guys have got any thoughts on it. What Yahoo have done, they've always been very good at integrating different parts of the world to bring it together onto your phone. And if you go to the, I think it's nude.m.yahoo.com, on web on your S60 device, you get the kind of there. They bring everything together. They've got news, weather, all our Yahoo services, of course, plus this social pulse where you enter your face, for example, Facebook and Twitter details, and it brings up all of your friends' updates, all neatly integrated in chronological order across multiple feeds, and you can update your own status on all these services just by putting one message into the text box on the mobile web page. And it's a really nice implementation. Admittedly, it's all done through web rather than as a standalone application. But kudos to Yahoo. They've put a lot of work into this, and it works really well. Either of you tried it?
I really like the layout of this. It's going back almost to the old-fashioned single-column approach of blogging. What I'd found interesting was the fact that the networks you can add in, the three that they prominently label up are Doppler for travelers, Last.fm for music, and Facebook, which, of course, is Facebook. And they also leave points not just to Yahoo Mail, but to Microsoft Mail and Google Mail as well. In previous years, I would have expected Yahoo just to shoot just their own services. But here, they are actually embracing the idea that, you know, everybody uses everything. You can't just have a locked silo of information anymore. And yes, okay, it does start off and promote their own services, Yahoo News, Stocks, and so on. But it does allow you to customize it in very short order to something that will fit yourself. Whether people are going, and again, this comes out of something that I've noticed quite a lot, especially at South by Southwest, the distinction between the power user and the normal user is becoming wider. The power users are going to just build their own page and use stuff like friend feed and focus everything there and eschew these big portal efforts. But I think most people, especially when devices will start coming with these links built into the browser bookmarks page, will use these services a lot. There's going to be a big battle. We always used to think it was going to be the battle of portals, but I think what we're going to see is an almost battle of portals to your own personal information, as opposed to a news silo, which we had 3 or 4 years ago in the days of WAP, when it actually did work.
Yeah, no, I agree, Ewan. One thing Yahoo has always done very well is build for sort of a mass market rather than sort of the top end, and I think in their social pulsing, this thing is most evident. It may not be quite as exciting as everything else, but could get an awful lot of users and, you know, impressed by the way they put it together, making a lot of the right steps.
Yeah. Also brand new in the last week or so, just definitely worthy of comment, is Nokia messaging, a whole new big update to that. email.nokia.com if you want to check that on your device and grab the latest version. I guess it's still technically in beta. This one introduces their first cut at genuine HTML email support, extra language support. And of course, they're promising it for S65th edition and the 5800 within the next month or so. Rafe, you must have tried this. What's your impression of 1.1?
Yeah, it's a nice update. I'm particularly glad to see HTML email. It's not in every email, obviously, but it was always a pain to get sort of semi-formatted stuff. And, you know, it's a big leap forward. And Nokia email really continues to impress me a lot, because this is a offering that's aimed at the consumer and makes it incredibly easy to set up and then get email on your device. And when one thinks about how we've had it for a number of years with complex settings through in messaging and suboptimal sort of user interface with not very much space between the emails and all that kind of thing. You've now got sort of consumer grade push email where generally you just have to put in an email address and password. You've now got HTML support. There's more stuff being added all the time and on quite a quick pace as well. So I've been very impressed by this. One fly in the ointment. It's not available on 5th edition yet, but I understand 5800 support is coming in May, so I'm looking forward to seeing that.
Yeah, I did try and install in the current build on the 5800 just to see what would happen. I thought, I wonder if it's going to work. And it didn't. There were error message after error message, and it finally got through to the wizard. I thought, it will work. And I found that the various text fields to enter the password and username wouldn't work properly, and you couldn't even enter characters. So yes, clearly some S65th edition work to do there, but I'm really looking forward to trying that as well. Just pushing through my different news points over the last week or so, now Ewan's back. We could, of course, ask his opinion of some of the games. Real Football has just been launched. Have you tried this yet, Ewan?
Quack, quack, oops.
That's the short review, and the longer review.
Quack, quack, oops, really.
So, not one of the stellar titles, then.
Well, if you mean by stellar, great big ball of burning hydrogen that's only good for lighting, then yes.
Right, so I guess we'll be getting a little more detail on the site in due course on that. But it sounds a thumbs down from Ewan.
It's a thumbs down. It's Game Loft. This is just so frustrating. The Game Loft are such perennially great sellers in the N-Gage, but the games vary between average and below average. They've had some really poor titles on N-Gage, but I have to say, it takes a huge amount of skill to make a game that is this rubbish. And I just take my hat off in honor to the guys that coded this and went, I'm going to put my name to that because, it's like Dusty Bin. Dusty Bin in 3-2-1 was so poor, it was so bad, that it became a national treasure. And Game Loft's worse than that with Real Football. It's going to be an interesting review, and I suspect Rafe will have to edit it very carefully.
Oh, God.
I suspect that the final score at the end of the Real Football review will be 22-0.
And
that's
for the
crowd. Game Loft. Let's move on. Nokia Photo Browser with huge amounts of eye candy, but not that much functionality, has been launched as an experimental project. And Rafe, you were quite impressed by this. Do you think it will actually get rolled into Gallery?
Quite how it's rolled in, I'm not sure, but I would imagine this sort of technology will get in, because Gallery at the moment is frankly not that great. The performance isn't very good. The thing that stood out for me was just the speed with which things were happening. And I do like the idea of the face recognition. You can tap on a photo and then zoom in and scroll between the faces in the picture just by flicking your finger across the screen, and they had the zoom bubble. You know, there's nothing terribly unique here that hasn't been done elsewhere, but it's really nice to see this kind of innovation going on. And more to the point, you know, Nokia are releasing it through Beta Labs to get a bit more feedback. And I'm sure, depending on what happens there, some of this sort of stuff will get incorporated into a future photo viewing application.
Yeah, the current Gallery, as people will try the 5800 will know, is slightly laggy. You can swipe from picture to picture, and there's quite often this sort of rotating busy indicator. And as we all know, busy indicators shouldn't really appear on any OS or platform. I suspect there actually is quite a bit of optimization that can go on, and I'm looking forward to the version 21 firmware and beyond on the 5800 improving performance. And that's one of the key areas, so that when you're starting up videos and browsing between photos, it's all seamless and quick. Also released in the last a week or so, Point and Find. Now, this is very, very interesting. I have to say, I tried it, and it was very, very buggy for me. Now, Rafe, you have tried this one as well. What was your impression?
Yes, I would say I also found it buggy, but I really love the concept. And just to explain it here, there's sort of basically the idea is you point your phone at an object, and it recognizes it and then does some action on it. So Nokia divided it into various worlds as a sort of way of cutting down on the sort of recognition. You know, it's in a subset, so there's less things for it to search through. One of these is sort of barcodes for shopping. I wasn't really able to get that functionality working at all for me, mainly because it's a limited subset of products. But one of the ones I really did quite appreciate was you can point your phone at a movie poster, and the movie poster will be recognized. It will bring up the name of the film, and you can then click on the name of the film.
Go on, you went to the cinema especially, didn't you, Rafe?
Actually, I was just doing it out of the newspaper. You can do it sort of okay. from images on screen or out the newspaper. And yeah, it's sort of a bit fiddly, but as a way of illustrating the concept, I really do like. And I think there's a lot of potential in this kind of thing. Sort of, it's the idea of augmented reality, I guess, being applied onto these mobile phones. And the thing that's neat about this particular concept is once you recognize the poster, you can get more information about the film, you know, things like trailers, you know, short reviews, a synopsis, link to the Internet Movie Database, which is all nice in itself. But it has the extra little clever thing, taking advantage of the phone, it uses the GPS to work out where you are and find out where your nearest cinema is, all done automatically, and show you at what times the film is being shown. And for some of the cinemas, it will also offer to book you tickets and take you through to a mobile ticket site, which will allow you to book it. Which I you know, that kind of integration is the sort of thing we need to see on mobile services for them to really take off. I mean, this is in beta at the moment. It's really more of a concept than anything else. But when you see stuff like this and it just works, and I showed it to a few people and they just go, wow, that's brilliant. I'd love to be able to do that. You know, I think this sort of thing has so much potential.
Yeah, it's interesting to note that the sheer number of things that Nokia is experimenting with. We keep mentioning all these things they release as beta or experimental. But the point is that most of them do make their way into firmware, into the built-in application set, or being merged into existing applications in future devices. If you take, for example, the Windows Mobile or iPhone ecosystems, there are huge numbers of third-party applications, and you really do have to use quite a lot of those to get a lot of things done. I'm hats off for Nokia for, you know, trying lots of these innovative ideas and rolling them in so everybody gets them in future devices for free without having to go on and install, find stuff and install it off the net. Ewan, have you got any thoughts on point and find?
I think Rafe missed a perfect opportunity to write off all his cinema tickets as a expenses on his tax bill, but you know, that's probably just the Scotsman in me. This sort of integration into real life and ARGs, I think, is actually going to be very important, and it actually makes the phone become more than just this hunk of plastic. It's something that you want to pick up, and it's a window in the world. Nokia have a long time talked about the first, second, third, fifth screen, or whatever number they use, and saying that the phone is the fifth screen. Well, I actually think that the phone is becoming more and more the first portal, and I'm going to come back to the amount of information that I picked up from the phone when I was traveling around the US. Now, I had a problem getting data, for example, but in terms of jumping from Wi-Fi spot to Wi-Fi spot, doing local searches with both Nokia Maps and Google Maps, I actually found that the phone was providing a great way of finding out what was around you, where other people were. And one of the other things that was interesting was using the phone as to access Wikipedia to find out about buildings, museums, strange houses that have got blue plaques in them, as I was traveling around Austin is a good example here. And it was almost like a portable tour guide. Now, it's not going to replace something like the Lonely Planet guidebooks. It's not going to replace hiring a tour guide of the city where you are, but it's actually a very good second string for the traveller to have all of this information on tap. If you consider how thick a Yellow Pages is in one of these major cities, and then think about how small and portable one of your phones are, they're actually really useful. And the more real-life situations that these phones get into and can interact with smoothly and easily with things like the camera, with like motion sensitivity and handwriting recognition, so much the better.
Yeah, I really like the way that, I mean, Rafe touched on it briefly, the way that, I mean, point and find Nokia have splits the different things it recognizes into different areas within the application. So, for example, the thing I was worried about initially when I heard about the concept is, okay, they say you wander up to a building of interest, point your phone at it, and it tells you all about it. I thought, well, how on earth can it do the image processing to recognize that it's a building, and then do all the 3D manipulation to recognize it from the angle you happen to be looking at it from? And this splitting up in different areas so that the phone knows it's looking for a movie poster or a barcode or a building. And I'm sure there are lots of other examples that Nokia will add when this technology matures. I think it makes a lot of sense. It really reduces the processing power involved. It means that the application is practical rather than having to do the impossible. And certainly for buildings, I'd expect that you'd have to be standing at a pretty unknown aspect ratio. So you'd, if, for example, if you're in front of, I don't know, the Tower of London, you'd probably have to be standing front on to one the front door so that the image would roughly match what was in the database. I'm sure there are some aspects like that. You can't just snap a building from a random angle. But I can see this application really working. As I'd like to see Nokia put more resources into it, and I'd like to see more areas and more lateral thinking. But I think it could really take off, and I'm excited by it as well. Rafe?
Yeah, just to come back quickly on what you were saying about the buildings, the reason this application is clever is it actually uses the GPS and other sensors on the phone as well to work out where it is and what direction it's pointing at. So it doesn't necessarily always use the camera, although the camera is obviously a major sensor component. So it should be able to recognize buildings, for example, from most angles just on the basis of where you are located and what you're pointed at. And this kind of extra use of sensors, it's not just about the camera, is I think what makes it stand out. And I do agree with you about the worlds. In terms of commercialization, what Nokia is planning to do is sort of sign up with partners to get this sort of thing into other areas. And, you know, they've talked about doing everything from maybe a specialist one for cars, recognizing different types of cars, or maybe even different parts for enthusiasts in that area. I mean,
one that recognizes the offside rule?
Well, I mean,
now we're back to real football.
Indeed, yes.
But I think with this sort of thing, the user experience is going to be very important. But with the point and find, if you want to go and have a play with it, this sort of thing, I think, will become more important in the future. But I would stress it is very early days.
Yeah, that's a good point about the GPS, although I suspect for example, the centre of London with landmark after landmark right next to each other and with the tall buildings blocking out the GPS signal, I think it might still struggle. But you can balance
that off with the much smaller cell ID radius as well that you have in London. There's lots of cells that will maybe only go about 15 or 20 metres before they're taken over by another one. So when you add the mix of them together, there is something that balances off that poor GPS coverage.
Plus, of course, the actual buildings themselves, you know, if it can locate you to within, say, a couple of hundred metres, it then has a much smaller subset of buildings to identify from the camera, for example.
Yeah, I'd really like to see the Skyhook, the Wi-Fi-based positioning, rolled out as part of S60 generally. I know that, for example, the Apple iPhone has got some sort of licensing deal with the I think it is Skyhook, when their database of Wi-Fi router IDs across the world. It's a wonderful system of self-healing database, and I'd really love to see that rolled out on through Symbian so that every device has not only got GPS, it's not only got cell tower positioning, it's also got Wi-Fi positioning, and those three combined will see you accurately placed on the planet, whether you're in the densest city or whether you're in the sparsest bit of countryside. So and that would really put the icing on the cake. One last bit of news before we finish, though. Rafe was wrong. This is we need a trumpet.
Is this a new topic, guys? This.
Yeah. Ewan, can you do a trumpet? Yes, Rafe was wrong. That doesn't happen very often.
He's not beat us this month yet.
That's a good point. The E71X, Nokia E71X, has been finally launched on AT&T in the United States. And the reason why I mention it, the reason why it's interesting, is that unlike the E71 in Europe and the rest of the world, which was S60 third edition feature pack 1, this is feature pack 2. So the delay of 6 to 7 months was not only to stuff it full of AT&T rubbish.
Which
they did as well, but anyway, it was also that they can put a completely new build of the OS in. Rafe, any comments on your apparent lapse?
Well, I'll just hang my head in absolute shame. Yes, I'm sorry about that one. I'm afraid I just assumed that it wouldn't happen for a particular market variant, but I'm very pleased to see it has. For all those wondering, I suspect this won't get transferred back to other E71 devices, but you never know. I've already been wrong once, so I'm quite prepared to be wrong again. Feature Pack 2 aside, which is of interest to us from a techie point of view, and actually I really like Feature Pack 2 on the E-series devices, so you know, great to see it. This is hugely significant for Nokia and Symbian in the US, because this is a device which I'd classify as one of Nokia's hero devices, you know, one of their really top sellers, you know, and into that category fall things like the N95, the N73 and the E71 that's available on a mainstream US network on a contract at a reasonable price point. It's $150, I believe, on a two-year contract, or $99 if you mail in a rebate. And I'm sure that price will come down. I wouldn't be surprised to see this selling bit available free via Amazon within a few months. So this could potentially go very far. And it's, you know, it's up against a lot of competition. AT&T announced, I think, 4 or 5 messaging devices, and they have quite a few of those QWERTY keyboard devices, and be up against, you know, things like the Samsung Blackjack and other devices as well. And of course, to an extent, the iPhone, but I think it's probably a different category. So it's really exciting to see how it will do. It'll be a very interesting one to watch, of course. A lot depends on how AT&T market it. But one thing that's already good is they're marketing it as a smartphone, as opposed to a sort of ordinary phone, which is what they did for the 6650, which is their other S60 device. So E71X, I suspect, could open a lot of eyes in the US just because of the availability on the carrier at a reasonable price point. And the E71 is a very sophisticated device. You know, they haven't done anything to get rid of features like they did with the E62, I think it was. You know, you still got the GPS, the Wi-Fi, it's still got 3G. It's got a lot of the software on there. So it'll be one to watch with a great degree of interest. And AT&T have said they're going to invest a lot into S60, and they want to cut down on the number of platforms they're supporting. And I think that's what that means, is we'll see S60 on their, some of their mid-tier devices as well. And the E71X may well be a herald for a lot more S60 on AT&T. You can see that's going on at CTI this month. They've got their sort of dev summit where they're encouraging developers from the Symbian world to get involved. So watch this space. I'll certainly be watching it with a lot of care. But, you know, finally, Nokia have got a significant announcement to make with regards to S60 in the US. And it's been a long time coming, and it'll be interesting to see how it does. It's going to be a tough fight, of course. But, you know, it's happening, which is, you know, great news for the Symbian ecosystem as a whole. And of course, Nokia, you know, looking to increase their market share and their influence in the US.
I think it's important for the American market that Nokia actually get these handsets into people's hands. One of the interesting things I found with the 5800, again at South by Southwest, is even though this was a very switched on and connected community of people at the Interactive show, the amount of people that recognized this as a Nokia, let alone a Nokia 5800, was very low. They were all expecting rather basic feature phones or some overpriced, slow, lethargic smartphone, as it were. Actually handing them the 5800, but handing them a 5800 with software that actually was relevant to what they do in their life actually proved to be a great success. And this was what Nokia were also finding. Well, but they were demoing the E75, and if you were very lucky, they had an N97 as well. And the fact that once people got their hands on it and saw hardware and software working together in a real world situation, they actually, a lot of people were saying that it was far superior to the iPhone experience because they were able to give it the time of day. A lot of the PR and marketing is going to be to try and get the consumer to give the device the time of day, as opposed to a certain American website. So we'll just go, it's Nokia, it's rubbish, and we're in the valley, so we'll trust Apple, or we'll trust Android, or we'll trust Windows Mobile, or the Palm Pre. Getting it into people's hands and a 10-minute demo is the key. And having it on AT&T at a low price, which will probably mean that the AT&T stores will push this device, and they will at least be showing them the AT&T software, which, much as we joke about it, will be familiar to the consumers on AT&T, and it should be relevant to that sector of the consumers who are buying the device. I think that is actually going to be where they have a chance of winning the battle. It is quite subversive, it is quite slow, and will not show immediate results in Nokia sales figures, but they need to build up that groundswell of Nokia works in my life. And if they can build on that advertising approach, as opposed to we can talk to Facebook and we're big and flashy and we're smartphones, I think that the former would be much more successful than the latter. So let's hope the AT&T experiment works, because I think, to be honest, it still is an experiment.
Yeah. Okay, thanks, guys. We are running out of time. We've got a few items left, but we're going to hold those over for the next show. So that's good. We've got something to talk about next week. There's a goodbye in the meantime from Rafe Blandford.
Goodbye, everybody.
Goodbye from Mr. Scotland himself, Ewan Spence.
Mr. Scotland, I'll get the posing pouch and the haggis and the bagpipes out. And aren't you glad this isn't a video now?
And remember, if you're a sponsor or advertiser and you can make the All About Symbian summer trip to Milton Keynes happen, then we'd love to hear from you. Goodbye from me, Steve Litchfield.